Good morning. Today is February the 6th, 2010. I'm Letty Kincaid with Faith Fellowship in Round Rock, Texas. We continue our study on the Ten Commandments today with Part 5, Preventing the Decay of Society. Thank you. What a beautiful start to our service. It's always a blessing when we have our youth using their talents to praise the Lord. We continue our study today on the Ten Commandments, and I hope that the first four have made you realize what an unbelievable responsibility that God places on having intimacy with Him. That really, without getting the first commandment, we will never, ever get any of the others. For those that choose to have God be the Lord of their life, He says, I want you to devote your lives to me, and I will accept no substitute in my place. I will be the morning star of your heart. And I care about how you represent me. I also call you into relationship on the seventh day to spend special quality time together. These things were in the hearts of Adam and Eve when God created them. They were created with God's law. They were made in God's image. And as the first parents, they were to be a bridge from God to their children. Parents have a huge responsibility in training their parents to love the Lord their God, to submit and devote their lives to Him, to make Jesus the star of their lives as well. And in a perfect world, if things could have stayed that way, Adam and Eve would have been perfect parents. They would have been unbelievable. Their children would have been raised to love and fear the Lord. And wow, how different things would have been. But we know that that isn't the way that it happened. And Adam and Eve sinned, and so they became imperfect parents. God wanted for parents to teach children about respect. See, without respect, we cannot have a family unit that loves God with all their heart and mind and soul and strength. So parents are responsible for teaching children respect, and that happens at a very young age. Respect for God. When children are little, little ones see their parents as the authority. So when our children are little, we stand in the place of God. We are the link from our children to God. And if we teach them about authority and respecting authority, and our children respect us, then they will learn to respect God as they grow and as they learn, and as age appropriately, we teach them more about the wonderful God that created the heavens and the earth. Along with teaching children about authority, that transfers into the authority at school and the authority at home and the authority of government and the many other authorities that are part of our life. That happens in the home. That is part of a parent's responsibility. Also, parents are to teach their children to respect others and to respect the things that belong to others. And ultimately, to respect themselves by having boundaries and lining up with God. So no matter which way we look, parents are responsible for teaching the children all about respect. Now we know that in the world that we live in now, things have changed so much. Or have they? Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at his second coming. So it seems like we fall into the same problems over and over and over, don't we? And it all starts with the lack of respect in the home. If children become disrespectful and spiteful and bitter and hateful, How are they going to learn to love and respect a God that they cannot see when they will not respect the very people that they should love the most, that are nurturing them and that are building them up and that are raising them? We have a huge responsibility. And the way that society is today, parents' whole shift in discipline has changed. What discipline? There is none. I've been dealing with children since I was 17 years old and have seen changes. Back in the day when my dad was principal of a school, a parent would come and say, if little Johnny gets out of line, you take care of it. I will not stand for little Johnny to be disrespectful at school. Nowadays is, there's no way little Johnny would have done that. My sweet little Johnny, he wouldn't do that. Things have changed greatly, and it affects everything. What happens in the home is huge, huge. And God demands for parents to raise their children to line up with Him. And it happens when they're little. I have to tell a couple of stories on my girls about parental authority and learning. And it's a reminder of where we are in life and how we need to pay attention to the little things. But I remember being in a grocery store one day with Lexa, and she saw a little child with their parent, and she wanted a chocolate donut. And she wanted it right now, and she screamed and screamed. And, you know, the mother was getting really embarrassed because everyone was looking at her, so she went and got the chocolate donut out of the bin and gave it to her child. And so Lexa thought that was really cool. And she thought, wow. And so she said, I want one of those too. I want one of those too. I want one of those too. And I said, would you like for me to spank you right here in front of all of these people? Yeah, no chocolate covered donut. But she knew that what mommy said was going to go down. There was no, let me see if she really mean that. By this time, even at two, she knew that when mommy or daddy said this, and this is going to happen, that it was going to be follow through. And nowadays, there is no follow through. There is no respect for parents. Being involved with children and having a school where children are raised, you see the children that, right when they come in, at the very beginning, that are kind and that have respect and that listen, and you see those that come through, they're like, hey, nobody's telling me what to do. And I'm talking at 2 and 3 and 4 years old, not being trained at home. I remember, since I told the story on Lex, I had to tell one on Cassie. You know, it's only fair, right? Cassie used to have fits when she was little, but not the screaming kind of fits, just the get in a mood because I don't get my way and just, you know, make sure everybody knows it. And so I used to tell her that she was free to have fits, but she would go do them in her room. Go to your room and have your fit, and when you're done, come back and join us, because we really don't want to see this fit. And so I sent her to her room, and she was in there a long time, longer than usual. So I went over there to check on her. I thought, I mean, she fell asleep, right? And so she was still sitting there with her arms crossed, and I said, are you ready to come out? And she said, no. And I said, okay, well, then you can stay there. I said, we're going to have supper soon, and if you don't adjust your attitude and come out, then you're not going to have supper tonight. She said, you're a mean mommy. And she said, I'm going to find another mommy. I said, hey, okay. I said, get your little suitcase out, and I'll help you pack. She's between 3 and 4 years old, and I said, go ahead, get it out, and walk through. Go ahead and put your special things in there and zip it up. And I said, and you can walk down the street. Now, we live in a neighborhood, for those of you who don't know, we live in a neighborhood where there's not house to house. You have to do a little bit of walking to go to another house. And I said, and don't go across the street to Mrs. Pickens, because she has rules at her house too. So you're going to have to do a little bit of walking, you know, to go find a new mommy somewhere that's going to just let you do whatever you want. And as soon as, as soon as I kind of started walking toward the door, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, mommy, I love you, I didn't mean it, blah, 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 you know. And so she forgot all about her fit, and we went on with life. But, you know, today Children are holding their parents hostage. And parents are wanting to be their children's friend. And God didn't say, I want you to be your child's friend. They have friends at school. They have friends at church. And they have friends in their neighborhood. They need people in their life that are going to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul. And they're going to teach them to do the best in that department as well. And so when we look at this particular commandment, parents, if you want your children to honor you, then you have a big part to play in laying that foundation. To truly be honored, you must honor the Lord and teach your children to honor Him. And it comes back in that cycle. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. If you would open up God's Word to Exodus chapter 20. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God of rules. He is a God of structure. He is a God of order. Respect for God, respect for authority, respect for other things, and respect for self. God is very interested in how that is developing in our life, because you and I are enrolled in Holy Spirit school. And He is growing us up. And He doesn't want for us to stay in the first grade forever. He wants for us to learn what we need to learn in the first grade and move on to the second grade. And then move on to the third grade in the life of sanctification, which is, we're in school, we're in training. The fifth commandment reads, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's the only commandment with a promise. We've had two commandments that have consequences. This one has a promise. The family unit is extremely important to God. God is a God of relationships. Having a mommy and a daddy that love the Lord and will raise their children to fear Him and revere Him and teach respect for every part of life is huge to God. But in our world today, the divorce rate is 50% because people don't take seriously commitments. And who suffers? The children do. The best gift that parents can give children is to love their spouse. Happy home, people that are committed and love each other, that is the best gift that children can have. When that is off balance as it is today, not only is the divorce rate high, but do you realize that 4 out of every 10 children born today are born out of wedlock? 4 out of 10. 40%. Does that tell us what problems we are having in keeping family units healthy and intact? But should we be surprised, as it was in the days of Noah? In the days of Noah, people's thoughts were continuously evil. We are marching toward that very time. We are in that valley. God wants for us to value our children, and even for those that are single parents, you know, God can give you the strength that you need when you need it to teach your children the right that you need to do, to value them and to love them enough to discipline them. Look at Ephesians 6, chapter 4. Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers have a big responsibility to train their children in the way of the Lord. And how will you know if what the way of the Lord is if you don't spend time in God's Word learning what His ways are about? I'll read Proverbs 13 for you. It says, if you do not punish your children, you do not love them. But if you love your children, you will correct them. You know, discipline and training isn't about beating kids and inflicting pain, even though discipline can be painful. It's about training. Discipline is about training. Just the way that our Father is training us, we are to train our children. And the last thing that we have to be very aware of is to praise our children. When they do well, notice and say, good job. Do we not like to hear a good job when we do good job? Yeah, absolutely. So value, train, and praise is something we can do as parents to keep things intact. There is no, let me phrase it this way. In all of my years of training children, you know, I've heard, have you heard the term, the terrible twos? I never experienced the terrible twos. Have you heard about the terrible threes? Yeah, I never experienced that in my home either. The terrible fours? Some people have had terrible every year. I mean, it's just an ongoing, horrible, terrible experience of raising children because they just cannot get to the place where they can put their foot down and inflict any kind of pain. I just can't have my little Johnny to feel any pain. Why is that? One thing is due that many moms are working outside of the home these days. And so moms, number one, are tired. It's tiring to work and then have to come home and raise kids. So it's so much easier to turn the TV on or to sit them at the computer or to pop in a DVD. But how far is that going to go in instructing the ways of the Lord? Or is that putting more worldly values into your child? So that's one of the reasons that kids are in these phases is because parents are not taking the time to actually train them. And when you get home from work after a long day, you're not going to have a lot of energy to have to do that. That's why it's best when moms can stay home with their children and give the proper training. What is it about the age of 18 and 21 that kids think the home becomes a hotel? Have you heard that amongst, you know, I have an 18-year-old and friends that are 18 years old, and I've heard that used. It's like, really? At 18, all of a sudden you go from being an active member of your family, participating in being a part of the family responsibilities, and now all of a sudden your home is a hotel and you can come and go as you please and do as you want? I don't think so. When an 18-year-old can move out of the house and support themselves in every way and pay for their rent and pay for their car and pay for their car insurance and pay for their food, pay for their entertainment and everything they do, now you're talking. Until you get to that point, if you are living under your parents' roof and if they're providing for you, then you are under their domain still. What has happened to our society and family units and structure and parents' responsibility for their kids? That is why we see the tragic circumstances all around us. And that is why there is no respect coming or going any which direction from kids, parents raising their kids or returning back to children honoring their parents. Honoring in the younger years means to obey and to respect. Yes, as long as you live under your parents' household and they're providing for you, you live under their rules. House rules. God has house rules too. Big time. He has expectations. If we are to have a relationship with Him, He says, this is how you're going to live. Otherwise, you and I can't walk together. You can't want to go to the South Pole if I'm trying to take you to the North Pole. It's just not going to work. And so it is with parents. Ephesians 6, I don't know if you've moved from there, but it says, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You're not always going to agree with your parents, and that's okay. We're all very different. Agreeing is not a requirement, but obedience is. Has the Lord asked you to do things that you didn't like? Yeah. And you've had to choose whether you wanted to do them or not. And actually, if we were all honest, there's a lot of things God asks us to do on a daily basis that we'd rather not do. We'd rather live how we want to live, talk like we want, and behave like we want. But because we belong to Him, we adjust ourselves to Him. Now, in our older years, God says that when you get married, then life changes. Not that any of you need to be getting any ideas, any of you young people. Marrying age might have been 13 and 14, but we've moved it up to about 30 now. Go with me to Matthew at chapter 19. Verse 4. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man, this includes both parents, not separate. That is when we get married, we move off, and we start our own home, and our relationship with our parent changes. But it's not forsaking where we come from, because God has put something very important in His commandments. It says, honor your father and your mother. So when you leave home and you go off with your prince or your princess to, you know, the white picket fence, that is fabulous. Certainly God made you for relationship, and He wants for you to eventually find a special person to spend your life with. But that doesn't end the connection with your parents. Let's look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and their grandparents, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Did you know that in the olden days there was no such thing as nursing homes? Or daycares? Didn't exist. Times have changed, haven't they? This is in the New Testament, but actually Ezekiel was telling the people in that day that they were profaning God's name by how they were treating their parents. Ezekiel says, fathers and mothers are contemptuously ignored. Orphans and widows are wronged and oppressed. So God gives this family connection that He wants for us to have. Even though we marry and we move on, and the parents aren't calling the shots in our life, oh, I want you to stay here and live here when, you know, you have to move to another state to get a job. You know, those kind of things maybe have tension. But even if we live in different places from our parents, God says, honor your parents. So what exactly is that? What does He mean by honoring our parents? First of all, accept them. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to always be right. They're people. They're people. They're human beings, and they're going to make mistakes. And just as we're raising our children the best we can, eventually when our children grow up, we want for them to look back And we want for them to treat us the way that we would want to be treated. Very, very important to keep that in mind, to accept them. You know, a judge in our justice system is called what? Your Honor. And we know nothing about them, but we call them Your Honor. Do we respect and love our parents and revere them in the same way? God says to honor them, period. Did you read anything in the fifth commandment that says honor them if they've done a good job raising you? Honor them if they were kind to you? Honor them if they were perfect parents? Honor them. There's no if. There's a lot of ifs in the Bible. There is no if in this commandment. Proverbs 23 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Another way that we can honor our parents is to appreciate them for the difficult task that they have had to go through in raising us. It's not easy being a parent. As a parent, I have to fight through my own selfishness and my own issues to be able to raise my girls. Would I, even just at 16 and 18, would I want to go back and fix things? Absolutely. Many mistakes have been made along the way. But by God's grace, I have raised my girls to love and fear the Lord. And when they leave my home, they may totally turn their backs on the Lord, and that will be their doing. I have no control over that, but as long as they're under my domain, I will do everything that I can to make sure that they line up with the Lord. You can honor your parents by affirming them, by praising them, by telling them thank you for what you've done, by saying you did this well. After all, come on, your parents did something well. You're here. Here you are. Desiring to love the Lord and desiring to try to walk in His ways as best you can. Something right was done. Abandoning your parents is not an option. It's not an option. If you're still in Timothy, go to 5, verse 8. This is serious. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. God is serious about the fifth commandment. I know that many of us have had experiences with parents that are of the worst kind, where parents have been abusive, either emotionally, physically, or sexually. And to even think about honoring a parent in that place may be unthinkable. But God doesn't put any ifs in the commandment. And so how you can honor your parent and honor God is by forgiving, by letting go and letting God have it. Forgiveness is not an option. Some parents aren't going to live up to what they should have in raising you. Some parents may not have had the upbringing that they might have needed to be able to in turn. And we know that's the case. Adam and Eve loved the Lord. Their firstborn was a murderer. We'll look at that next week. Parents do the best that they can, but no parent is perfect. And even those that have been despicable, God says your response to that is to forgive. We must forgive. That's where I chose the scripture reading from this morning. To bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances we may have. Because God says as we forgive, so we are forgiven. Is anyone here not in need of God's mercy today? If there's anybody, then stay after the service. We need to have a one-on-one. Great power comes through forgiveness. God gives something so special that only one that has forgiven a huge grievance can experience. It's a power straight from God's throne. And last week, several of us were talking about different kinds of abuse that have happened where a spouse or a parent or a child has had to forgive, to let go, and how hard that would be to do. I gave all of you a book to read called Think No Evil, the story about the Amish and how the Amish, I mean, there are people that are known. They are known for forgiveness. For to lose a child to such a horrible crime and to say immediately, like Jesus said on the cross, I forgive you. The power that they have in their life because of that is unbelievable. Anytime we step out and we're willing to do what God says at great cost to us, wow, it's a peace like no other. How serious is God about this commandment, about honoring? By accepting, by forgiving, by remembering, by communicating, phone calling, praising, keeping in touch with, by caring and respecting for our parents' opinions and asking for them, by appreciating what's been done on our behalf. He's very serious. I want you to go to the book of Exodus. Because after all, we are talking about a group of people that God took out of Egypt. And he's giving these commandments in the desert, boot camp 101. After God led his people out of Egypt, he had a whole different standard of living for them. I mean, he wasn't just rescuing them because there were some special people. There were ordinary people. He was going to make them an extraordinary people. How? If they chose to love him and they chose to follow him, and there's many ifs there. If you do this, I will do that. He was going to make them an incredible light before all the people of the world. They were going to see with their own eyes what following the God of heaven and earth was all about. They were going to see that. You know, the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. However, what God was going to do with the rain that he put on the just and what he caused to grow and what he caused to multiply was going to send the people all around to say, okay, it rained in my yard and in my garden. Why is it that my crop isn't like yours? Why do you have this bumper crop? We planted the same seed. We got the same rain. Oh, it's not my doing. You see, the Lord promised that he was going to make my crops just grow like crazy because I love him and I serve him and I'm willing to live by his rules. Wow, really? I want to know about this God. Who is this God? That's what God wanted from this people that he was calling to set apart. And he takes very seriously how parents are treated. And he says in Exodus 21:15, if anyone attacks their father or mother, they must be put to death. And in verse 17, if anyone curses his father or mother, they are to be put to death. How serious does that sound to you? That sounds pretty serious to me. How God looked at parents and what he expected, the level of respect, God knew that unless children respected and loved their parents, they were not going to love and respect him. How can you turn your back and curse and strike the very ones that give birth to you, nurture you, and love you? God has house rules, and he was raising these people, and he was giving them a whole new way of living. He's told them what to eat and how to dress and how to behave and how to worship him. I mean, if you studied Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you get a huge picture. How do you take a group of slaves that have been used to doing whatever they wanted and living how they wanted, and how do you take them up here to understand what holiness is all about? God had an incredible job on his hands. I mean, huge. And God knew that even though he loved these people and he was going to do everything that he could to get them to this place, he had shown them miraculous power. He had taken them through the plagues in Egypt. He had rescued them through the blood on the doorposts. He led them out, parted the sea. They get on the other side. They are, wow, this is beyond. God is so great. And a few days later, they want to go back to Starbucks and McDonald's. Hey, there's no Starbucks out here. And where's McDonald's? We want to go back there. God had to change their appetites. Every appetite. I'm not talking about just the appetite for what we eat. Their appetites for everything was so self-focused, and God had a huge job to do, and the family unit and keeping that intact is huge. There's a verse in Deuteronomy. Well, first I want to take you to the end of the story. Deuteronomy 29. After God has given all of the outline of how they're to live, and Moses is near his death, and God renews the covenant, Moses calls them together in Exodus 29, verse 2. Moses summoned all the Israelites, and he said to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders, but to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear." Why? Because they were stiff-necked and rebellious and calloused and hard-hearted people who would not submit to the Lord. God was patient, and he worked with them, and he was patient, and he loved them, and he forgave them. But they refused to accept God's terms. He says, "During the 40 years I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out." How amazing is that? Their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals on their feet, good as the day they left. You ate no bread. Well, remember, he rained down wafers for 40 years. They got manna. They didn't have to worry about their food. They didn't have to worry. Now, that's the part I would like, not worrying about having to mess fixing food. They're out there in the desert, no Walmarts to go to buy clothes. So God just says, what you have is going to work till you get to the promised land, and I'm going to feed you. Don't worry about food. This is about training in righteousness. That's what you're out here for. This is Desert University 101. He says, "You ate no bread and you drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did these things so that you might know that I am the Lord your God." Now, go to Deuteronomy 21. Flip back a few pages. And look at how serious God is about respect. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton.'" Another word used there is worthless. loose morals, and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Wow. How important is it to God how we train our children? And if they were rebellious and unwilling, and you know that any parent would work and work and work with their child, wouldn't they? We would do everything that we could to turn our child around. But God says if they will not, they will not affect others. All Israel must know that I care how I am represented. Can you see yourself taking your child before the judges, saying, I've tried to, this child will not listen to me. And not only that, he's gone his own way. And obviously, he's taken up with drinking and everything that goes with that. And the elders of that town would have to come together and stone him. When Jesus says, if anyone loves his father or mother or son or daughter more than me, this is what he's talking about. Reverence for God is paramount in every way possible. A few weeks ago, this particular passage really bared down on me. A friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a little bit came to visit me, and she's been having trouble with her son for several years. And he has been involved, as most, get started with alcohol and then move into harder drugs and then total disrespect for the home. He was probably maybe 14 or 15 when this started, and he is now 19. And we have talked and talked and talked about tough love, putting your foot down, you know, not allowing him to trample the home, and she just didn't have it in her to close the doors. And so this has gone on and on and on, and finally she tried to send him to boot camp, and that didn't work, and she kept him out of jail. He got in lots of trouble, and finally she decided, well, you know what, if he goes to jail, they'll teach him a lesson, he'll learn there. So he went to jail, and she was happy that finally he was there and he was going to find out what the cost is for breaking the law and for having this lifestyle choice. Well, while he was in jail, he was probably there for about 2 months, he met a drug dealer that knew the associate pastor at his church really well and said, you know, there's a lot of time to talk. They got to know each other. And over time, when his mom came to visit, he says, Mom, do you know that Pastor so-and-so does drugs too? You see, Mom? It's not, you're making a big deal of this. It's really no big deal. If the pastor's doing it, you know it's okay to do it. And she said, I went and checked it out. She said, I thought he was making it up, and I went and checked it out, and it was true. And she said, and it broke my heart that my own church family, the pastor, this was the youth pastor, not the senior pastor, would work against me like this. And she said, obviously, I don't go to this church anymore. And she said, I was just absolutely heartbroken. And I thought about this verse because in God's kingdom, I can see some of the heathen nations coming through town and looking at the prosperity that Israel was supposed to have because they were willing to be the treasured possession and live like that. And I can see them coming through and saying, do y'all have a gang problem in your town? Because we're really having a gang problem in our town. And they would say, no, let me show you. Let me show you where our gangs are. And there'd be a pile of rocks over here. And the gang members would be under the pile of rocks. Because that's where they would have wound up. God was serious about disrespect He was serious about parents putting up with disrespect because it's like a cancer that affects others. Why do you think we have so many gangs today? Because they all pulled together and they've all ditched their parents for whatever reason. And they banded together to do no good. And tell me what every gang group is known for. Being involved in drugs and being involved in breaking the law. And look where we are today. Parents, you need to take a stand on whether you are going to be conforming to the ways of the world or whether you're going to stand up and be counted. You know, we have youth in our church that are very blessed to have a church family that loves them and stands with them. But it can't just be words. It has to be how we live our lives. I thought about this friend, and one of these days she'll tell you the story because she's been to our church several times, of how that affected her, how that affected her family. We have to live right. Like somebody said in Sabbath school today, God was saying he was distinguishing between the Egyptians and the Israelites. He wasn't just pulling them out of Egypt. He was wanting to raise them to holy living. And if you are going to be about holy living, you're going to have to get serious about what you're doing and what you're standing up for. You're either standing up for God's principles or you're standing for the devil's principles. There are only two choices. God is serious about how we live. He is very serious about parents' responsibility. And those of us that may not have kids, well, then our life should be a standing gospel story to all of those around us. So none of us are exempt. We've made mistakes in our lives. Absolutely, many. But the Lord covers us. And that's why we can keep going every single day. Take heed that society is in the place that it is because parents aren't doing their job. And those of us that have parents, in turn, we need to love and respect and honor our parents by showing them love and admiration and praise, the same that we want to hear from our children. May the Lord give us the grace that we need to live for Him, to say no to the ways of the world, and to let Him raise us up to higher ground. For He says, my ways and my thoughts are far above yours. If we want to be lifted up there, we are going to have to trust Him to live the way that the Lord, our God, has asked us to live. May God bless you. As you take this to heart on this beautiful Sabbath day, is my prayer. I hope that each one of you knows more and more every day how much your Savior loves you. You are loved. God cares about everything in your life, and He is preparing an unbelievable place for you. And any rules that He has in His kingdom and His house is for your happiness. Do you realize that God doesn't have one rule in place for Himself to benefit Himself? Not one. His structure, His order is for our happiness. He is amazing. Most wonderful Father, we have been so blessed to be in your house. I thank you so much for faithful people, each one here that desires to love you and serve you in the best way that they can. I pray that our service today has been pleasing in your sight, that you have been worshiped, and that we have been blessed in return. May we be willing every day, Father, to surrender all to you, that one day very soon we will hear the words from your lips, well done, good and faithful servant. And we know in order to hear those words that you take very seriously that we honor our father and our mother, and that we raise our children in your way, and that we desire in every way, Father, to please you. And so we continue to ask for Holy Spirit power, it is only through your power that we can have success and be overcomers. In the name of Jesus, amen.